How are you guys doing? Playoffs begin Friday. You got games 1 and 2 at home before you head to the home of the defending champs, the Calder Cup champions of last year, Grand Rapids. Are you healthy? Are the guys fired up?
Yeah, guys are healthy. We are probably the healthiest we've been probably in almost 3 months. So it's, this is the time of year when you want to be healthy and at your best, and guys are ready to go.
That's awfully exciting because I know in years past, especially at this level, you just never know when you're going to have bodies, and a lot of times you can be left with a lot of your roster missing post-trade deadline, depending on what the club north of you has done on the food chain. How does this group compare to the prior three you've seen in Abbotsford heading into the second season?
Well, I would say this one's probably our most healthiest it's been. I thought a couple of years ago, my first year when we went into the playoffs against Milwaukee in the first round, we were just little nudged up in a few places, and we had had a lot older team at that particular time that had to play with part of those injuries. It's just a long year, as you know, in Abbotsford with travel. And, you know, this year is probably our healthiest of the 3 years that, we've been here, and probably our youngest, so it's probably also our hungriest.
That's fair to say. That's pretty. When I look at this roster, the one thing I noticed, the major change from the 2 years that I had the pleasure of working with you there, the leadership core is entirely different. There's no Ben Walter. Quentin Lang is gone. You're not a team that is laden with quad A, AHL, longtime guys. Who has comprised this leadership core? And when something needs to be said, who's the guy in the room that stands up and addresses it?
Well, we've had two different leadership cores kind of emerge. We had obviously just Dean Arcini here the first part of the year. He was the only vet we had almost until January. Occasionally, Derek Smith had dropped down and Blair Jones by vet status, but really had never been here long enough to sink their teeth in any leadership. So it was pretty much by young committee. It was Dean Arcini and it was Ben Street a little bit, Chad Billens and Carter Banks, which was a good flavor because, you know, at this level, as you know, one of the critical components for leadership is somebody that is young enough that understands maybe, if you want to use the word, new millenniums, but not too old where they're kind of out of touch. Like, it's really funny, but a 32-year-old to a 35-year-old at this level is out of touch with a 20-year-old. Like, they're not in the same, really, the boat. And this year, I think Carter Banks was kind of the bridge that kind of kept things going here all year because he was the younger guy. Chad Billens was a leader, younger guy, only in his second year, played last year with Grand Rapids, and Ben Street obviously added some things. And Dean kind of carried the weight as far as organizing the group, kind of the grandfather of the group and keeping them on board. And then as it's emerged, Ryan, like now you've got guys like Shane O'Brien, you've got Derek Smith here, Corey Locke came here by way of trade, and Trevor Gillies came in. So, you know, it's kind of like we got a little bit of everything here. We got some older, we got some younger, and really it's still been the core group, though, of Billens, Street, Banks, and Arcini have been the main leaders of the team.
And you've also got about 10,062 black aces with you right now as all the Flames prospects that are done, either their collegiate or CHL seasons have joined you. What's that been like? It's almost like you've got two separate teams. You've got your A squad, and then when they're done, you got to get the Bs, get their work in, and get them acclimatized to the pro environment.
Yeah, we've got Kanzig here, Roy here. We've got Coda Gordon here. Patrick Seeloff is back skating now. Klimchuk is here. Ryan Culkin is here. You know, we've got a lot of young kids. Kulak is here. Poirier is here. So, you know, we've got a group today that'll skate at 8 o'clock. There'll be about 9 black aces, and then we'll have about 22 in the regular group today. So roughly we've got about 31 to 32 players here right now that are kind of going through the paces, and it's been good. It's good to have those kids around.
And I wonder how you approached last weekend, because you knew you were in the playoffs, the seeding was still up in the air, but you were going to be the low-numbered team in the matchup no matter where you finished there. And so you put some young kids in. When you see Emile Poirier put up the kind of numbers he did over the weekend, do you think about putting them in, or is it more about the vets that have been there all season rather than rolling the dice with a guy who might not be super comfy with the systems?
No, I think it's still really about development. To be honest with you, Ryan, we just got to develop hockey players. And, you know, that development is in within the food chain of the company. And Poirier and Kulak and the Klimchuks of the world, they're all obviously future guys that we want to get ready for. Obviously, just training camp next year with Bob Hartley and his staff. And, You know, so we're going to give them as much exposure as we can, and to play any of those guys in any one of these games is something that our goal is. And if they're better or we feel that they can contribute more at this particular time, then obviously some of the guys have been here all year. Those are decisions we'll make come Friday. But I look to get those kids in just as I did last weekend. Poirier got two or three games in, Klimchuk got two or three games in, Kulak got two or three games in. You know, we're getting these guys in as much as we can right now, and I think that's important for our franchise.
I think when all is said and done, we'll look back at the 2013 draft class and say, wow, what a fantastic group of players spread out around the NHL. We see Nathan MacKinnon with a dominant rookie season. It looks like he's a slam dunk for the Calder Trophy. Seth Jones is a guy that played some big minutes in Nashville at the fourth overall slot. Barkov played a huge role in Florida. Sean Monahan had a fantastic year here in Calgary. Nichushkin still going in the playoffs with Dallas. And we're all curious what Poirier and Klimchuk might be, because they're also from that 2013 first round. What have you seen from those two in particular?
Well, Emile Poirier, first of all, just came last week. He joined us in San Antonio, flew in separate from the team, but got there after his major junior year was completed. And, you know, he watched the first game, kind of, you know, did some teaching with the staff for about a day and a half and got himself ready. Got in two games, obviously got some points. You know, the one thing that that Poirier brings to the table is just he's got like almost Pavel Bure, like kind of a one and a half step, and he's at full speed, like he's gone, and he's super, super fast. He allows himself a lot of time and space on the ice. He has great vision, obviously has good hands, and he puts his nose in there, like he's not afraid to go to dirty areas and score goals. And here's a guy that you probably would project out at some point in time will be able to get, you know, for sure in the 20s, if not in the 30s, in goals in the NHL. Like he's that gifted, well, as a skater, and he's got great vision. So good days ahead for Emil. You know, I was real happy with his first weekend, and we look to kind of get him in there this weekend here against Grand Rapids. And Klimchuk's played a little bit more. His year was done in Regina a little quicker, and I think he's got maybe like six games in. He's gotten a point. And Klimmer showed a lot of promise, too. He's a good 200-foot player, gets up and down the rink, understands his role in all three zones. I don't know if he has any huge upside like Poirier in terms of speed at this particular time. I just think he has a lot of great areas. Like, he's really good in a lot of good areas. So his ice balance is tremendous for a young kid of his stature right now.
And the interesting thing about Poirier, I believe because of his birthday, this is a guy that's eligible to be with you on a full-time basis next year, which means if he plays well, he might not be far off that Calgary roster. Is that a guy you're looking forward to maybe seeing a bunch of in the next calendar year?
No, it certainly is. Like, he's obviously, I mean, just through one weekend, he's made a pretty good push. And, you know, there's, as you know, traveling and being around this level, there's two different sides to you as an AHL player. Like, number one, can you just fit in on the ice and make the plays that are necessary to help yourself and help the team? And number two, do you fit in socially and mentally at this age? Because sometimes it doesn't seem like a big step from major junior to the AHL, but you and I both know that's a huge step as just a man. And sometimes it takes kids a little bit longer. But so far, so good for Emil. Like he looks like he has a lot of maturity to him, and he understands how to get through the paces of the game so far. And seems to be fitting in well. So you look forward to him continuing to grow through the game at a rapid pace.
Tell us a bit about Grand Rapids, the team that you draw in the first round. Jeff Blashill is a guy that everyone speaks very highly of, who has crossed paths with him at the head coach position. A lot of the guys we saw star in Grand Rapids in the last couple of years were on the ice in the Joe Louis Arena last night with the Wings, in terms of a guy like Brendan Smith, Tomas Tatar, Joachim Andersen was even up, Gustav Nyquist. What's left in Grand Rapids?
Well, good group. I mean, it's just a good group. I mean, they've got some good veteran defensemen there, and Evans, and they've got Page and some different guys like that. They've got Jordan Tutu up front. You know, they've got some other really skilled players that are there, still there. You know, you get Emerton and certain guys that have been up as well this year. So, and they're defending champs, so they understand how to win. You know, so they're a very dangerous team. Obviously, you might as well get the best of the best right away if you have a choice. It's kind of like maybe the Boston-Detroit series a little bit in a way, or the Chicago-St. Louis series. Like, you'd rather get after a really good team if you can right away and get going. And, you know, we feel good about the matchup. I think we were 1-2-0-1 against them during the year. Although this team that we'll put on the ice Friday would be by far our healthiest and our best team in the four games that we played them this particular year. We're anxious to kind of get going, but we have a lot of respect for them, and I think equally they have the respect for us. But one thing that, Ryan, that just stands out about the organization is that you've got three different eras of, you know, you got the Yzerman and then they hand it off to Lidstrom, and then it's handed off to kind of Datsyuk, Zetterberg. And the one thing about this organization is their players learn really well within from players that are in the organization. And I think that separates the organization in a lot of ways. That's why they're so good, and they understand work ethic, and they get to see this firsthand from the players. It's, you know, kind of what we want in Calgary through Gio and certain players up there. Like, they just learn that way, and when you pass that torch along, it makes your organization really powerful, and I think that's the kind of the caveat that they have going for a lot of their players in Grand Rapids and why they do so well.
Yeah, it seems like you have to own property in Grand Rapids before you're a good Red Wing, but you learn a lot along the way, it seems.
Yes.
Talk to me just real quickly about this format, because for a lot of hockey fans in Calgary, we're always interested in how the Flames prospects are doing, and oh, it'd be lovely to see them go on a big run here in your final year in Abbotsford. But it's a 2-3. It's a best of five. The first two will be in Abbotsford, and then it closes out in Grand Rapids. What does this kind of series feel like as compared to a traditional back-and-forth best of seven?
Well, you just, we did this a couple years ago, obviously, against Milwaukee, we did the same thing. You know, it is what it is. You kind of get used to it. It's almost like you're numb versus the old, like, you play home and then you go away, or you play 2-2 and then 1, you go back. A lot of it just has to do with budget and travel at this level and different places. There are some divisions, some series that'll start tonight within the American Hockey League because of proximity. There's a different revenue sharing relative to, like, Wilkes-Barre's playing in Binghamton. Well, they really don't go up there the night before because of the travel and how close it is. The league doesn't subsidize that. So every situation's a little bit different. But, the home team has the advantage. Like, they can pick whether they want to play two on the road and then go home for three, or if they want to start at home and then go back and forth. And there's just a lot of logistics involved, and we just kind of battle through that.
Thanks so much for your time, Troy. I really appreciate it. One final question for you. Have you caught all? I know how hard you're going to be working here to prepare for the series, but have you snuck off and watched a little NHL playoff hockey over the past week and a half?
Oh, yeah. It's right on over my shoulder all day and all night here at the office, and just kind of take my peeks at it. Obviously, it's really good hockey right now, and just an entertaining. If you're a hockey freak, this is the time of year you want to be involved in life. And got TVs going and computers going and radios going. Everything's going here in the office, so it's a great time of year. The only downside is our Flames aren't playing, but things are, up and moving and going in the right direction with Bob and his staff, and I think all the players up there, and hopefully we can continue just to develop and contribute to their success.
Well, we hope you have a long run, and we'll check in with you as your postseason progresses. Thanks for your time, Coach.
All right, you're welcome.
That is head coach of the Abbotsford Heat, Troy G. Ward, as they are set for the Grand Rapids Griffins in the first round games 1 and 2 in Abbey Friday, Saturday.